Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me talk with you about the creed of the church. Now, the title of this lesson can be very misleading in view of today's religious terminology unless we understand what we have in mind. We usually shy away from the word creed, and for some good reason. And that's because the word has come to refer to something that we really never find in the Bible. Actually, a creed is simply a formula of religious belief, a brief statement of the same. But we understand it in that sense, and when we do, it's a good term. But many understand it to refer to a set of rules and laws and doctrines conceived and arranged by religious leaders of denominational bodies to denote the distinctive features of those denominations. Denominational creeds are foreign to the Scriptures. And in this sense, the Church of the Lord has no creed because it's not regulated by doctrines of men, only by the doctrine of Christ. Neither is the Lord's Church a denomination. Now the word creed, like the perfectly scriptural term of bishop and pastor and sanctification and other words, have been so misused and misunderstood that explanations are always necessary when they are used correctly. However, the term creed, although not a biblical term, does convey a biblical idea. Strictly speaking, the church does have a creed inasmuch as there is a formula, a system of religious faith, which the church upholds and follows. Now the word faith, it's used in different senses in Scripture. Sometimes it refers to the entire doctrinal system which God has revealed to us in the Scriptures. In Acts 6 and verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Acts 13 and verse 8, "But Elymas the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." In Galatians 1 and verse 23, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed." So here the word faith refers to the entire doctrinal body of the doctrine of Christ. But more frequently, the word faith is used to refer to the state of belief, or trust, or confidence, a condition of understanding and acceptance. In Matthew 15 and verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." In John 8:24, Jesus said, "I say unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." There the term faith or belief is used with reference to mental assent, the acceptance of certain things that are true. And again in Romans 14 and verse 23 we read the word faith, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And here the word faith refers to a person's individual conviction. Whether his conviction is right or wrong, whether it's true or false, that's not the question here. It simply means what a person thinks is right. Many times, however, what may be a very strong conviction, or one's faith, is not accurate and not harmonious with the will of God. It is nonetheless a sin to violate what you believe, violate your own convictions, violate your conscience. Because anyone that will do that is not ever being honest with himself. Faith also denotes faithfulness, fidelity, reflected in obedience to the system of doctrine in Scripture. In Romans 1 and verse 8, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Paul was commending these brethren for their loyalty to the truth. Now, as could be expected, There is a close relationship in all of these shades and senses of meaning. To review, one faith is the faith revealed in Scripture, which is the will of God. Another faith is man's belief and trust and confidence. A third faith is man's personal conviction and conscientious thought. A fourth sense of faith is a description of a person's loyalty to the first faith. Only one of these is a perfect faith. That is, the faith that has reference to the infallible will of God, the system of Christ, the religion of which He is the founder. Certainly, our loyalty is not perfect. Neither can we boast that every personal conviction is always accurate, although we can measure and know whether it is or not. And we can examine our convictions by the faith, and when found to harmonize, we can know they're accurate. Our faith in the sense of belief may not always be mature and perfect and whole. There is such a thing as a weak faith, and a faith that will not save because it will not cause one to obey, but the faith, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it is without flaw. Its author is omnipotent deity. This faith is the divine standard by which all things are to be governed religiously. Wonderful indeed would it be if the church today would always be loyal, putting trust and confidence in Christ, holding to accurate convictions that are revealed in the faith. Friend, the creed of the church is the faith as delivered by deity through the Holy Spirit and inspired men, now embodied in the inspired Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But too often the standard used in religion has been a creed composed of what somebody believes. Obviously, men ought to practice what they believe to be true. But what men believe to be true is not necessarily what God has revealed to be true. Men may honestly believe that Jesus was just another man, exceptional, but only human. They may believe sincerely that the sprinkling of water is acceptable baptism. They may believe that regular worship is unnecessary. But in all of these instances, they would believe an untruth. Their belief is not a reliable standard. If mankind would ever unite under the creed of Christ, it must be by acceptance of nothing more and nothing less than the inspired creed. Every attempt to unite people religiously is destined to failure, and it is futile unless there is the acceptance of the same divine faith. For this reason, we plead with all people everywhere to throw away the human and denominational creeds and be content to just take the Bible, God's Word. The divisions that are multiplied throughout the world find their roots and their sustenance in the creeds of religion that people have either written or hold to instead of or alongside the Bible. Friend, it is evident that God has spoken. He's spoken to man with purpose and design in order that mankind might understand Him and obey His voice. And if we cannot understand Him, why would He send us a message at all? You know, to contend that people cannot understand God is to be forced to accept one of two distressing positions. One, either God could not present His will so man could understand it, or two, God would not present His will so man could understand it. Well, we want neither side of that sordid coin. People can understand the Bible, and they can understand it alike. Millions do. When people do not see the Scriptures alike, one of three conditions exist. One understands and the other misunderstands. Or two, it could be the other way. Or three, both of them misunderstand, possibly in different ways. But when they both understand, they will see it alike. Now this is either true, or God is the fault of every division that He condemns. He is the cause of what Jesus prayed would not exist in John 17:21. He makes it necessary to disobey the very teaching His inspired apostles gave in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. If a merchant misuses his yardstick, is it the fault of the yardstick or the one who made it? When a survey misreads his chain and his compass, is that the fault of the instrument? When a mathematician errs in applying proper rules of mathematics, is it the rules that cause the error? Well, friends, so it is when people misread and misapply and misunderstand the Scriptures. It's not the fault of God. So often this is done in an effort to harmonize a predetermined denominational creed with the true and genuine formula of faith that God has revealed. But the Bible is not at fault. God is not at fault. Men are at fault. To speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, that is, to speak where the Scriptures speak and remain silent where the Scriptures are silent, neither adding to nor taking from, is not making man or any other measure the judge of men. The creed of the church cannot be, has not been, nor shall ever be, anything than the Word of God. For the faith we ought to contend, Jude verse 3. It is therefore the plea of faithful Christians that we all let the Bible be our creed, rejecting anything and everything that is not from its authority, accepting anything and everything revealed therein. Friend, you can take a copy of the Bible and have stamped across its cover the Creed of the Church of Christ. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.